Well, this Tuesday morning, it is now time to talk health and well-being. We do that every Tuesday with Russell Setright, naturopath, and Russell joins us on the line. Russell, very good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning.
Lots to get through this morning. One of our correspondents wanted to know what is the cause of a bloated stomach, particularly with diet. I mean, what food should people be avoiding if they're feeling like they're getting that gaseous, bloated stomach?
Well, you know, there's some. Everyone is different at what causes excessive gas. But the common foods like cabbages and things like this, certainly, and baked beans, those types of foods can cause gas. But if you've got any allergies, that also will cause gas, and or intolerances. So an intolerance is not the same as an allergy, but you can have the same type of symptoms. So a milk intolerance is really a lactose intolerance, and that causes a bloating and upset bowel because you can't digest the lactose and therefore it wants to flush it, but also a lack of good bacteria. So eating things like yogurt can be helpful, or taking an acidophilus bifidus supplement helps the friendly bacteria be in charge rather than the bad bacteria. The bad bacteria, of course, that causes wind as well, because bacteria passes a lot of gas, causes a lot of gas, and that causes bloating and wind in the bowel, which gives a bloated feeling in the stomach. But the other thing with bloating, it can be excessive fluid buildup.
All right.
If people feel they're getting very bloated, they want to just get checked out to make sure that they're not haven't got any underlying conditions. I mean, if you're elderly and you're getting bloated, it could be a cardiac condition as well.
Okay, what about something like wheat? Someone said to me way back, if at best as possible, avoid wheat.
Well, again, you know, it's individuals, but we're really not designed to eat lots of wheat. You know, you imagine back before they crushed things up, you wouldn't go chomping on wheat. It would be a bit hard and hard to use.
Yeah.
So, and quite often, incorrectly, they called the wheat silos back in the biblical days, when really they were rice.
Oh, okay.
So rice was a common crop, and so was soy, but wheat wasn't common. So we've developed a liking for wheat, but it can cause problems, and it's certainly bread isn't the staff of life. Bread was the minimum we gave to prisoners, if you like. It's a good something to put your sandwich together with, but you don't rely on wheat products totally, because many people have flare-ups of many problems with wheat. And of course, if you have got that problem with wheat, what you're going to get is excessive wind as well.
Oh, it's best to avoid that. Now, something different, turmeric, or is it turmeric? Depends, I suppose, where you're from. Just a gram of that a day could boost memory in those with early diabetes, you're saying?
Yeah, Macquarie University study looked at that. But look, it backs up what all the other studies are showing. And there was a study also done to show that taking, it's a product called Brain Active. That's the product that they studied at Swinburne. And they found that that could improve short-term memory with just the gram a day, one tablet or one capsule. And this other study is looking at it that can help reduce the chance of developing problems as well. So that's with thinking problems, that is. You know, it's just curry powder, isn't it? But these studies are done on the concentrated form of the curry powder. And they also have a more bioavailable form. Now, I know that Brain Active is a much more bioavailable form than standard curry powder. And, of course, how they came across these is looking at people who ate curry, but they were eating huge amounts of curry three times a day, and maybe a lot of people aren't just about to do that. But in the potent formulas in the tablet, one of them has shown in the clinical studies to make a significant difference to your cognitive functioning, which is you know, your short-term memory and recall of objects, visual memory, is improved quite dramatically. So good stuff.
Yeah, it can taste good too. Just finally then, we've spoken on and off about a Mediterranean diet over the years. New research suggesting that you will live longer if you adopt the Mediterranean diet, large amounts of vegetables and fish. Let me ask you first, Russell, define the Mediterranean diet and then we'll look at why it's so beneficial.
Well, it virtually includes a lot of fresh produce. We have said salami is there, but it's not a great deal. It's mainly fresh fruit and veggies, a lot of fish, a little bit of veal, very little red meat, and hardly any dairy foods. That's what a Mediterranean diet is. Plus, they use olive oil a lot instead of the polyunsaturated oils that we seem to use here with the canolas and so on. Now, the monounsaturated olive oil doesn't break down, it doesn't oxidise as well, and it's been shown to be very beneficial. Now, you know, one could argue, is it the reduction in the amount of red meat and processed foods that makes a difference, or is it the increase of the olive oil and the fish that makes a difference? Well, I think it's the increase of those, because we do know when we look at these things separately, they've got a lot of health benefits, and we look at the other foods separately, we find they've got negative effects. So more fish, more fresh food and veggies, less processed food, mm-hmm. and certainly, as we've talked about before, don't have the processed meats.
And as far as oils are concerned, is olive oil the best to use with your food?
Absolutely. Oils ain't oils. You can't compare them as all being the same. If you're going to be cooking, you wouldn't use fish oil because it can break down and oxidise, but taking fish oil can be very beneficial. If you're looking at cooking, olive oil is the best one to use. Olive oil in a little bit of bread and scooping up the sauce in your dinner is quite nice too. But don't forget the sauce, which they have as well on the Mediterranean diet, are cooked tomatoes, not raw tomatoes, and very ripe tomatoes. And that releases a very powerful antioxidant called lycopene. And lycopene isn't released easily unless you cook old, overripe tomatoes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's some of the big secrets in the Mediterranean diet. So maybe tomato sauce isn't, well, not the tomato sauce that we buy in a bottle, but the type that's made over there, which is freshly made out of ripe tomatoes, plus little meat, more fish, lots of fruit and veggies, and all fresh.
And it all sounds quite tasty. All right, Russell, thank you as always, and look forward to chatting next week.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Michael. All the best.
My pleasure. Russell Sett right there, naturopath.